Hello, 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 everyone. Dana Williamson here with Bad, Blessed, Anointed, Destined, LLC, the original Bad Queen of the Roundtable. Thank you so much for tuning into the podcast here on Bad FBI, Visions and Dreams. Our new segment, as I spoke to you all about previously, our new segment is called the Prophetic Roundtable. And tonight my guest is Adah Rawlings, and I am so glad that she's my sister friend because, one, she keeps me on my toes, but, two, she also understands some of the things that I go through and helps me get some explanation for that. So that is why I wanted her as a guest on tonight. So she's my guest, and we will have a little bit of prayer first, and then we will go into the Prophetic Roundtable. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you right now, Lord God, for everything that you have done, all of the opportunities that you have given us, and everything that you have laid at our feet. Lord God, I ask that you forgive us of all of our sins and anything that we may have done, seen and unseen, known and unknown. I also ask you, Father, that you cover each and every person that is listening to the line, as well as myself and my sister, Adah Rawlings. I ask that you cover her family, her children, everyone that is connected to her, as well as her business. Lord, I ask that you use us on tonight, this being our first segment for the Prophetic Roundtable. I ask that you use us and speak through us and help us not only to get insight for ourselves, but also to help the listening audience. I ask you this again in your son Jesus' name. Thank God. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So, Adah, thank you so much for being a part and for joining me. How are you tonight?
I am great, and I thank you so much for having me.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, just a little bit about your background or whatnot, if you don't mind, so that the people can get a feel of who you are.
Awesome, awesome. I am Adah Rawlings. It took me quite some time to embrace my name. Growing up, I was teased by my name a whole lot. But when I finally understood what my name meant, the fact that it was biblical, and she's also the second woman's name mentioned in the Bible, I started to own Adah and who she was. And I started to walk into what it is that the Most High God has for me as far as being invited to the Prophetic Roundtable. I had to learn and understand some things in my life that the Most High God was doing with me and where he wanted me to go. So at this point in my life, he wants me to be an entrepreneur, a serial entrepreneur. He hasn't limited thus far the things it is that he wants me to do. So I'm a chef and I'm an author, and I'm learning now how to merge the two and put it all together in one. So that's just a little bit about me.
Oh, praise God. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. I have to tell the audience I am a fan of Adah's cooking. I've relished in the great flavors and tastes. So if you are ever in the Milwaukee area, please, please look her up. We will have some more information about her book and her catering, her business as a chef. After at the end of the program. So thank you so much for sharing that. And thank you actually also for sharing about, you know, your name and what it means, and then you know embracing your name. I as a child always researched things, and my name as a child, all I could find was, you know, it was a derivative of Daniel. And it was more commonly, when I was a child, a name for a boy, not so much a girl. And as I got older and, you know, we had more access to the internet or whatnot, I found out that my name, Dana, means God has judged, or God is my judge. And it's so clear and prevalent for me as a ministry leader, you know, and as I was walking in ministry, how my mother named me and how she named me and basically kind of set things in motion unbeknownst to her.
Okay.
I am an entrepreneur. My mother, and I say this to say that, as an entrepreneur, semicolon. My mother named me Dana after a fragrance company that made a fragrance that my father liked.
Oh, wow.
And so the perfume company was called Dana, and it's just like the fragrance is called Taboo that he liked, but the company was called Dana. And later on in life, and then actually I should say it like this, about 5 to 7 years ago, I sat down and thought about the fact that my mother, her purpose out of her own mouth was to name me after this fragrance company that my father liked. She named me after a successful business, basically putting on me that I would be an entrepreneur and at some point in my life successful. The company was not successful at first. They were successful later. And so I'm just like, okay, so now my name means God is my judge, but I'm also, you know, she put that on me. She made that stake of claim just from the fact of her purpose of naming me. So I thank her for that.
Definitely.
Which, you know, also brings me to the point of the prophetic roundtable. Some of us never know who or what we are in our purpose in God until we're older.
True.
And one of my, yeah, don't you feel like you never really find out your purpose, your full purpose, not just your gifts, but your full purpose until something like smacks you in the face and it's like, oh, okay.
Oh, definitely. I can attest that I have lived that experience. Well, I had to get collapsed. No, you know what? Literally, I had to get knocked down.
Okay.
And I'm not talking about knocked down in the spiritual realm. I'm talking about physically knocked down is when it finally hit me.
Okay.
Oh, so we're going to hear about what happened.
Well, I mean, no. Let's put it this way. You don't have to share that right now if you don't want to.
Okay. Go ahead and share it since we brought it up, and we're going to touch bases basically on, you know, what this is about. And for me, it's more about sharing, you know, your experience, not just trying to prophesy over somebody else's life unless the Holy Spirit releases us to do so. But for me, all my life, the Most High have been speaking to me or giving me visions, dreams, signs, and I ignored it. Because I just thought it was just either, you know, my conscience speaking to me or I was having deja vu. But just one particular day, this was 10 years ago, exactly 10 years ago, I was in a devious mindset. I had a devious mindset. I was thinking wicked thoughts about doing things to my ex. I really was. And this is what led me to write one of my books. So I stood on top of a chair to go to the top of the bookshelf. And I heard clear as day, not inside my head, it was like it was a voice or somebody was in the room, and they said, write. And it was one word that I heard, and I'm like, whatever. So I stood on this chair, and I got to the top of the bookshelf about to pull a checkbook out, and I was going to write me some bogus checks. And when I tell you, I felt like this air come through, and I fell off the chair. Soon as I reached for the top of the bookshelf, the chair tilted, I fell, and I could have sworn somebody pushed me. The Most High God wouldn't push me, I don't believe, but he can be a little humorous at times. And I was actually pregnant with my son at this time. I fell, and when I hit the floor, I heard, right, and I got scared, and I ran to my room, and I pulled out a green 70 subject notebook paper, and I just started writing. That writing saved my life. It saved my life to not do something to harm somebody else as far as interrupt their finances. It also saved my life on me trying to harm myself in any type of way, and it saved that baby's life inside of me. And I'm going to put claim on the Most High God that was him speaking to me to tell me to sit down and write. Once I finished writing inside of seven, I still have that notebook today, and I'll show it to you later. But once I finished writing in that subject, the 70 subject notebook, I reread it because I didn't have no more paper to write. And when I reread it, I realized I was writing a book. Not only did I realize I was writing a book, me writing told me about what was wrong with me at that time.
Okay. Now that makes That makes a lot of sense. You know, I would, I'm going to, no, I'm not going to say this. I was going to say, I'm going to say this, even though I want to say this in a way to agree with you, but I have to say it this way. Sometimes God will knock us on our feet, off our feet. And it might be a physical thing, not to hurt us, but to awaken us, if that makes sense.
So that's why I'm putting the blame on him.
Right.
He did that to me. No, I don't believe he was trying to hurt me because I was pregnant with a child in my womb. But I think he was really trying to get my attention. And he needed to get my attention.
Exactly.
And he got it.
Exactly. I think so that really ties into, you know, my explanation of why the prophetic roundtable. So I didn't realize that I had the anointing of the prophetic until 2004, I believe it was, when God sent someone on my job. She was a temp, and she had been there a few months, and we were talking, and realized who she was spiritually. And we were talking about some experiences I had as a teenager, and it had to do with deja vu, and that's the only way I could explain it. And I told her one day, you know, I had been having these experiences, and, you know, it was no big deal because it wasn't real heavy until one day I was at my homecoming dance, and I was standing talking to a friend of mine, and it hit me real hard how I had done this before. And it hit me so hard, I started to cry. And my friend explained, hey, that's deja vu, blah, blah, blah. But this young lady explained to me in 2004, she said, that's what the world calls it. But what you had was a prophetic experience. And so we went on, she asked me some questions, and we went on talking about, you know, all these different things that the Lord had done in my life, or different visions or different dreams, and yeah, some visions that I had been having since I was a kid. And so she, at that point in my life, really was one to help explain to me what I had been going through. Because I will tell you that some pastors could not do that. When I would say, you know, I'll take that back. A few years after, about two or three years after that, when I, you know, realized what was happening to me, and I tried to explain to other leaders that I knew actually were prophets, because that's what we were calling them, and I said to them, hey, you know, I'm seeing this, I'm dreaming that, I'm hearing this, my kids are having this experience, and blah, 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 and they couldn't help me. It was like, well, how come you can't? Because this is who you are. This is not who I am. This is who you are, right?
Right.
And you know, I even said this morning, I was thinking about, you know, us doing this call, and then the Clubhouse will be doing later. I'm like, you know, I'm going to have to tell people, you know, I paid money for people to explain my gifting, and they didn't. And that's not fair. And so for me, why I want the prophetic roundtable is because I want people to be able to, one, feel free to be able to say whatever they need to say, share their experiences, how they've experienced them, maybe get some insight from other people without feeling like they're stuck in some kind of religious rhetoric, because that's not of God.
Right, that part.
Right. And I don't want them to feel like, you know, they got to pay money. I mean, I went to quote-unquote school of the prophets to learn about me, and I'm like, I done spent $4,000 at the School of the Prophets, got these certifications, but baby, you still have not explained to me what I've been through.
Wow.
Or what I'm going through.
That's a little bit different for how I really accepted it from the Most High, because I was a runner. I was honestly a runner. After the experience happened, when I fell and I started writing, I started going to church. After I had my son, I started going to church. And when I would be in church, the Most High would show me so many things inside of church. And I remember, you know, reading in the book of Ezekiel, because I sat down and I just started studying the Bible. I've basically been studying it all my life, but not understanding that I was studying it. But anyway, like in the book of Ezekiel, when Ezekiel had to go behind the curtains of the priest to see what they were doing behind the priest to expose them. So I was in church, and my apostle, it's just some things about her wasn't sitting too well with me. So I prayed to God, like, God, just please reveal to me who this lady is. So I had a dream, and I dreamed this lady's entire day. Like, the Most High pulled me up in front of her house in a vehicle. I walked up her stairs, sat in her living room. This is in a dream while her and her husband were sitting at the table studying. So I went to her to tell her about this dream I had. She was like, you dreamed that for real? I like, described the dream to a T. I'm not going to get into it right now. But I described this dream to a T, exactly how this house looks on the outside, exactly how it looks on the inside, and what she and her husband was doing inside the house. She was like, I want you to come over to my house right now. When I went over to her house, it was the house that I described in my dream. It was the outside and the inside of the house, and she explained to me how her husband was sitting at the table, and she was sitting at the table. I had even described exactly how they were dressed. And when she looked at me, she was like, you are a seer. You are a prophetess. I need you on my ministry team at my church. Girl, I ran the opposite way. I kept going to church, but I'll sit at the back of the church. And she kept coming at me, even my own father, because my father's a priest. He kept coming like, do you not know who you are? And for me, I was like,
oh my gosh, y'all crazy.
I'm not accepting this gift or this calling that y'all trying to put on my life. They was like, it's not us. It's the Most High God. When I tell you the day I was supposed to get consecrated at church, I ran. I left out the church. They were coming looking for me like, you cannot run from this. When I tell you I didn't try to go seek this out, I didn't find nobody to help explain this gift to me. It just kept coming to me till this day. It still keep coming. And I ran until I finally got consecrated as a prophetess in the church. And then I got ordained as a Levitical priestess. And I've been walking it for quite some time. And now I have learned to only speak when the Holy Spirit released me to speak.
Right.
If I haven't been released to speak, even if I know, feel, or think something or have a dream, I don't say anything until the Holy Spirit say, go.
Right. Exactly. I totally agree with you on that last part, so I'm gonna go this way backwards. What you have said is I've had some of those instances, but here's the thing. It's a plus. It was a God-ordained meeting, but it was a God-ordained situation, and it was a God-ordained meet up. I'm saying double the things, but nonetheless, that you had that woman, that you were able to say to that woman what you did, and then she pulled you in, and you follow what I'm saying? She was helping you to cultivate at a time you might not have been ready, but at least you had her. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I was in a place where I was taught, you know, your leaders are your leaders, and you go to them, they should help you, and blah, blah, blah. So I trusted them. And, you know, I was being hoodwinked and bamboozled.
Yeah, but, you know what that also could have been? And I'm not going to say, I hate to say it, they could have been intimidated by your gift.
Yeah.
And didn't want to help you evolve in it.
Exactly.
And I'm going to say it. Because we have that. We have apostles, preachers, teachers, evangelists that are intimidated by other people's gifts. And I don't understand why, but they're still human.
Right.
And you're talking about a book that's over 2,000 years worth of knowledge. And knowledge that's not even in this book that the Most High God downloads in you. Some people can look at you and see your gift and have demons in their closet and know that you can see them. So they want to stay away from you.
Right.
They don't want to be in your circle. They don't want to help you elevate, because them helping you elevate, they know that you'll see them.
Exactly. And that is, I'm glad you said that. Thank you so much for saying that. Thank you, Lord, for using her today, because I believe that was what was happening at that time and also can continuously be happening now. I also agree with you on, let me go back to when you said, you know, not to speak unless the Holy Spirit tells you to speak. There were a lot of times I think I won't say outspoke my welcome, but you know, sometimes you say things out of time, like God will show it to you today, and it's not for today. It's not for anybody. It's not a message to be released unless the Holy Spirit says so. And I found myself caught up in that many a time over my learning who I am. So if we go back to 2004, all the way through now, there's been many a changes. But what you've just said, and a couple to my own experiences, that's why the prophetic roundtable is so important for other people, because we've been somewhere. Somebody is sitting in the front of the church right now, not knowing how to explain what they're going through. I'll give you a couple of examples, because these two examples I know I can share. I have this beautiful piece in my office. It's an armoire, but I use it now as a shelving unit in my office because it is solid wood. It took four people to get it into the front door and in my office. I wanted it to go all the way upstairs into my walk-in closet. It wasn't going. It just was not without a crane and through a top porch. It was just not going. So this, when I look in the mirror, the one-sided, there's two doors, and both of them have a mirror on them. When I look in the mirror, when I first got this, we're talking 2 years ago, 2018, November, I could see different things moving or happening in my living room just by how I was looking in the mirror. And, you know, I'd be like, well, who put that there? And at the time, my son was staying with me. And I'm like, who put that there? And then he'd be like, well, he hasn't been here all day. And then I would see something else, and I'm like, well, what is that exactly? And, you know how you talk to yourself, like, you know, okay. But then one day, because I had been here alone and I'm working in my office, something caught my attention that I didn't say anything. And I just sat there, and I could tell by the glass in the mirror that what I was looking at was not what I was looking at. It was not what was in my home. And I said, okay, Lord, listen, let's talk about this a second here. Do I need somebody to come and get this thing out of here? What's happening here? And in my spirit, I heard, don't be afraid.
Okay.
I'm like, okay. But what is this? What am I seeing? And all I heard was time. And I'm like, okay, this is me. Let me be real honest. When I talk with the Lord, It's I'm a kid, and I am a kid, probably rebellious, sassy, and a kid. Like, no, explain. No, I need to know. No. I'm gonna be a brat on this floor, kicking and screaming, you know. And what ended up happening was, you know, just time. What I heard was time, and future. Not future, another time. And I'm like, okay, let me just write this down and step away and just, I'm going to pray and I'm going to listen and I'm going to wait. And sometime after that, because I'm still waiting, sometime after that, I had a situation where I was talking to a friend of mine on Messenger. We were talking, you know, on the Messenger phone thing or whatever. And she's in Texas. I'm in Milwaukee. And I'm sitting in the, I hang up the phone with her and I said, you know, let me just sit here for a minute. I'm sitting on the couch and I know I have my phone in my hand. But when I sit there, next thing I know, I'm standing in my living room facing my kitchen and I'm literally shaking myself awake. And I don't know why I'm standing, because when I sat down, I sat down. These are the two things I'm sharing with you. I sat down on the couch. There's no reason for me to be standing in the middle of the living room. What happened was, I said, okay, wait, let me think about what happened here. I sat down, I saw myself, I stood up, looked at the edge of the table, threw some DVDs, and I'm looking for a movie, and I'm looking at the DVDs, I'm like, wait a minute, these, I realize something's wrong, because the DVDs that I'm looking through, I know aren't at my house. And so that's when I realized I need to, first thing I say is I'm asleep. And so I'm shaking myself, you know, like a movie. Oh, wait a minute. I see my body. I'm asleep. Let me shake myself. That's kind of how the whole conversation went. So I'm shaking myself awake. And when I finally open my eyes, because I realize I'm standing up and I'm not sitting on this couch asleep, I'm afraid. And so when I shake myself and I open my eyes, I also realize I wasn't asleep. I don't feel like I've fallen asleep. I don't feel like, you know how you have that kind of groggy feeling when you have to wake up right away or whatnot? Okay, so I didn't feel that way. And so as I'm walking through the house, I'm trying to get my bearings. So I'm walking to the kitchen, back to the living room, to the kitchen, back to the living room. And I stop and I say, okay, pull yourself together. And I look at the time. 30 minutes have passed. And I'm like, where did the time go? And so that took me back to remembering what the Holy Spirit had said to me while I was looking through that mirror. But then I called my friend because I still couldn't calm down, and I talked to her, the one I had just gotten off the phone with, and I said, I think I passed out. I don't feel like I was asleep, but I think I passed out, and I don't have a reason why. And I explained to her what happened, briefly what I could explain to her, you know, and she didn't have an explanation. But at the end of the day, once I was done, I had to talk to God about what just happened. And he spoke again about time and transition. And again, it had to do with future. Because I kid you not, a week later, those DVDs that I was searching for in this vision / dream / I don't know where I was, were on my table, same spot, and I was going through them, and it hit me hard again, like the situation that hit me hard in high school, that I had done it before. And when all of that, a week later, when all of that hit, I was so, I think I fell to my knees and was so, I don't even know how to explain how overwhelmed I felt, because at this point in my life, I realized everything that was a vision of the future or a vision of something to come was now starting to show up in my life a lot faster than it used to. When you're a person like me who I won't say I did run at first, but I won't say I'm running now, but I don't see why God uses me the way he uses me. When you're that person who continues to say, why me, why me? That was hard for me to accept. And even still to this point, I mean, because you're talking that was the end of 2018, beginning of 2019. That was hard for me to accept and for me to say, okay, here I am. But the truth of the matter is, here I am. And I tell you, Ada, I couldn't share that with too many people because people would probably think I was crazy. And two, who else prophetically has had that experience? Not a lot of people.
Man, sounds like an out-of-body experience to me.
Right. So help me out, because especially with your family history and the connections with your parents and who you are, I'm glad that you said what you said, because that after, you know, like a few months, that was the only answer I could come up with in my physical self, although God had really already answered this is a future thing in the spiritual sense. But I was taught, and some people still say it now, that, you know, out-of-body experiences are not biblical. But you find evidence of that in the Bible.
You do. Ezekiel had an out-of-body experience. It's in the eighth chapter of Ezekiel when he had the vision, and the Most High God took him to Jerusalem in the spiritual realm. His physical body didn't go. He spiritually went there.
Right.
That's an out-of-body experience that Ezekiel had. So that is in the Bible.
Right.
So, it trips me out a lot when I hear pastors or people, whatever, preach or say things about what's not in the Bible, but you stand up before your church, and I'm going to say it. You stand up in your church and you preach Easter. That's not in the Bible.
That's not biblical.
It's not. You preach Christmas. And inside the church, they have a Christmas tree. And you want to talk about idol worshiping? That's not in the Bible about no Christmas. You could say, yeah, we're celebrating Jesus Christ's birthday. Or why we don't have Mary in a manger then? Setting that up with a fire pit in our houses. But what Jeremiah tells us about chopping down a pine tree in the wood with an axe and decking it with silver and gold and nailing it to our floors, that's an abomination unto the Most High God.
Right.
So when people want to talk about what's not in the Bible, we can go there about what's not in the Bible. But some of the things they speak of are in the Bible. Are you really studying to show yourself approved?
Exactly. I mean, we could end this right here, because that's it. You're hurting, like, excuse me. When the woman of God said to me back in 2004 about me walking in the prophetic, all she knew was about the prophetic part. It was somebody in New York, in Brooklyn, New York, another apostle, who said, you're actually a seer. And he went to break down all of my experiences. This is a man who's never met me face to face. This is a man who doesn't know any of my history other than, you know, what he may see on social media. But even on social media, I don't release a lot of what I've gone through spiritually, especially in the prophetic.
Definitely.
But it comes down to these relationships that we have outside of the religious four walls are the ones who basically help to cultivate that person. Or the office that they walk in, or you know, there are people that actually, you know, they're so prophetic, they don't even know how prophetic they are, because they've been running, you know, from the call of God for so long. And the round table is so important to me. I mean, because literally with what I just said, you could have just said, you know what, I'm out of here. I can't be attached to this. Let me. Okay, thank you for having me on the program. I'm finna go. You know, but you answered. You basically answered with what came to you. You didn't say, oh, man, that's, nope. Mm-mm, can't help you on that one. Or, you know, you didn't say anything like that. You basically can't. Whatever the Holy Spirit gave you, you answered. You said, you know, you shared that. And I want to be able to do that for other people, because I can count on one hand the people who have spoken into my life about that part of me that is so active. You know, I can't, there's no way, shape, or form I can run from that part of me, because it goes all the way back to when I was a child and I didn't know. My mother wasn't one, you know, she went through the motions of going through, you know, church, probably, you know, at a time that I really needed someone to explain. But, you know, back when I was 10 and 12 years old, people didn't know. But nonetheless, you know, all of this goes back to when I was a child. What do you, and it's hard, because I, let me tell you, Ada, and it's so funny to me. This, every time I think about it, it is hilarious to me. When
okay,
I was a kid,
ahead.
When I was a kid, I always watched scary movies. I didn't care. I would have nightmares. I would have quote unquote nightmares after, but I didn't mind. I just wanted to watch if it was Chainsaw Massacre. It could have been Pinhead, and I forget what movie that was. Or, I mean, it was a lot of stuff. When I was a kid, I watched. They didn't care. But when I would go to bed, I would think that I'm asleep having these nightmares because my closet didn't have a door. So when I would look through the closet, I would see like a whole life going on in the closet.
Oh,
yeah. And I was just like, oh, that's a nightmare. I didn't even know how to pray things away. I would just count to 10 or count sheep or whatever. And I didn't, at the time, you know, I didn't know how to pray, you know, for protection. I didn't know any of that. They didn't teach us that. You had a nightmare, you had a nightmare. And, I would always hate when we moved from that house to another house. I was so glad that my bedroom had a closet door, because I would keep the door closed, afraid something was going to come out of it, or I would see something I didn't want to see, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you the truth, in the past year, I've thought about that, all those different times that I saw different things going on in the closet. Because I was really seeing different things going on in the closet. I don't know whose life it was. I don't know who's, you know, but once you realize how things work,
mm-hmm.
spiritually, then you start taking note or reflection on everything that has happened in your life. And so I took reflection and I said, Lord, if I missed something along the way, please forgive me. If I missed talking to somebody or speaking to somebody or not asking people the right questions, please forgive me, you know, because I don't know. I don't know where I missed the point, missed the mark, or missed being able to share something, or maybe I was supposed to share something with my mom. I don't know. You know, me and her didn't have the greatest relationship, but you understand what I'm saying. All that time that all these different things were happening to me, anywhere between the ages of 8 and really 18. So much.
Wow.
So much.
Yeah, it's a lot of explaining and answers that we possibly can't do all of it, even in our lifetime, I'm going to say.
Okay.
But we do the best we can, and I'm a firm, strong believer that God will pull you when he's ready for you and when you know that he's ready. So I wouldn't be so hung up about, was I supposed to speak then or say something or tell my mother something? Because he wrote the beginning and the end.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So he already know exactly how it's going to end. So he starts speaking the end to us at the beginning. So whatever happened at your age range, he was either preparing you for who and what you are now. No, who and whose you are right now. So don't feel like you were supposed to say something then. Because now it's your time that he has you saying something now.
Right, okay. Okay.
Not the author of confusion. So if he gave you this gift and he anointed you with his holy oils, then he knows what he's doing. So if he wanted you to speak back then, it wouldn't have been nothing you could do. He was going to make you speak.
And
it wasn't going to be nothing you can do. Sometimes we do take quite some time to do or say something, but he's going to make sure it gets done at the right appointed time.
Right. You're right. I also, we've gone pretty long here, longer than I had anticipated, but I want to make one, I want to make one other note, especially, you know, for those that, you know, always, not always, but, and we should make the biblical connection. One of the things, I want to say Jacob, but I also want to say when Jesus took the two closest to him to see Moses and Isaiah.
Uh-huh.
Now, mind you, and I think I'm saying that wrong, people want to say that there is no, it's not the out-of-body experience, but it's the other one, and I'm so sorry. The word is on the tip of my tongue, and I can't grasp it. But nonetheless, you know, they want to say that these things are not possible. So if we say that the out of body experience is not possible, or the I want to say transportation. That's not the word I'm looking for. Why can't I think? Never mind. Nonetheless, when they were there on the mountain and they saw Moses, it was an experience that was had. They weren't asleep. It wasn't a dream. It was an actual occurrence. And because they came from heaven and they were able to be seen at that point, people are trying to, in current time, change how that happened, you know, change how they were able to see them, or they were asleep and, you know, you follow what I'm saying, that it was just a dream that Jesus allowed them to have. And again, I want to point out that that's not fair to what's written in the Word of God. Now, mind you, people might say some different things because, you know, the Word was... The King James Version we have is not the original Hebrew that we had or the original Greek. I totally understand, which means that, again, like you said earlier, we have to study to show ourselves approved. But the other part of that is that we have to recognize what the reality, the spiritual reality was at that time. Tell me I'm wrong about, let me use Jacob as an example as well. Jacob had a fight with a spirit in some translations, they say a man, but we know it was the Spirit. We know it was the Holy Spirit. We know in the earlier translations that's what it was. We know. So we can't say that Jacob was in his dream and had a fight. No. He laid down, but he got up fighting.
Yeah, he wide awake.
Right. So it's I think what I'm trying to say in layman's terms, and please, Adai, help me out here if I'm wrong. You know me. I don't mind being corrected. We need to stop acting as if what happened in Bible days, that is in the Bible, that the Lord allowed to happen, cannot happen now.
That part, because it definitely can happen now, it is happening now, and it will continue to happen again. The only thing we have to be very careful for is to understand and know that we will have false prophets that will arise in this time.
Yes.
And claim and tell you that they saw, experienced, or did something, and it will be a hoax.
Mm-hmm.
It will be a hoax. You're talking about still in this time, whatever years ago that was, about sightings of UFOs at Area 51 and all this stuff. If those people saw that, they saw it.
Exactly.
They saw it. I believe not that part of it being an outer body experience, because you're in your body, you awake, your spirit is looking at something. Besides the natural being of you, your spirit has taken over, and the spiritual eyes that is inside of you see something, and it is there. You ever been in, and I'm going to make this real short because I know we pressed for time right now because we went on, but have you ever been in a situation, and I know so many people in the world have, let's say, for example, you out to dinner, you're eating in a public restaurant, and you just feel a ball of heat behind your head, and you turn around and somebody is staring at you all the way across the room. And when you look at them, they turn their head, they either smile or they frown. That's your spirit. Some people, scientists, people use the word energy. It's a ball of energy. Your energy is, that's your spirit. Spirit, energy, same difference from the spiritual to the natural. Your spirit picked up on somebody else's spirit physically in that room, and you turned your body around, and you saw them looking at you. And I'm going to give one more example. It was a movie years ago that came out, and it made it a nice little story or an analogy of something they told a lot of places. It was a lady getting off work, and she would walk through the alley to get to her home. So she got off the bus, and she was walking through the alley, and there was a man standing in the alley watching her. They locked eyes. He let her walk right past him. Later on that night, she seen that same man on the news. He was arrested for raping another woman in that alley. So she went to the police station to, you know, be another witness to say, yes, I saw that man in the alley, but I want to ask him a question. She asked the man, you saw me in that alley. I saw you. Why didn't you rape me? He looked at her like she was crazy and said, you had two men walking with you.
Right.
This lady was by herself. And right. This man was a racist, but the Most High God made him see two men guarding her where exactly. He wouldn't touch her.
Exactly.
That man changed his life.
Exactly.
You can't check the messenger. Get the message.
Exactly. That part, let me use your phrase, that part, that, yes, exactly, exactly. People miss the whole thing because of the messenger instead of getting the message. And so the word I was looking for was teleportation.
Oh, okay. Yes.
And I continuously do studies on that, but I always, and whenever I do a research on anything, I always say, can I find this in the Bible? If I cannot, then I'm done. I'm good. I'm not even going to take it over and beyond. But we will catch this up. If we can't catch this up on Clubhouse, which, ladies and gentlemen, again, thank you all so much for tuning in to the podcast. I truly appreciate you. We are going to have another conversation just like this, but with others on Clubhouse. And we'll try to do it, if not twice a month, maybe every week, depending on how people desire to talk with us. But the Prophetic Roundtable is on Clubhouse, and we will be there. One second. I want to verify my time I put in. I believe it was 6 o'clock, but I do want to verify. Give me one second. But I want to thank you. While I'm looking for this, I want to thank you, Adah, for being with me. I am so glad that I had you, because that works for me to hear somebody else. And like I said, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I don't mind being wrong. I don't mind sitting back and saying, yeah, I'm wrong. Let me go do some more studies or let me sit before the Lord. But I want to thank you so much for being here. And you know what? If you want to share about your book and where people can find you in Milwaukee, please do that right while I look this up.
Okay, most definitely. I do have two books out. One is called Not My Autobiography, But My Testimony. That's the book that I wrote when the Most High God knocked me off my feet. That book is available in all bookstores across the world. I'm even in Australia. I'm also available in Walmart, Barnes & Noble, iTunes. Just Google me. I'm also a co-author of another book, My Protector, My Provider, My King, My Husband, I'll Wait. It's Wives in Waiting. I'm the 9th author in the book. And it's just a book about divorced women, married women, single women, who all know that we are wives in waiting, wife without the ring. I also have a catering company called Adah Eats Kosher Style Catering. I am available in Prime Social here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin on 76 and Good Hope. We're there every Sunday doing our famous brunch hour from 12 to 6 p.m. I always tell people to get there early because by 3, we are packed and we can't let so many people in because of COVID. So once the seats are filled, I'm sorry, you have to wait till we get a clear table. So come as early as you can, eat, leave for the next people to come in. Thank you, Dana, so much for having me. I so appreciate you.
Wow. I am going to try to get out for one of those brunches. I do have a copy of one of your books, and it is on my list to start reading as of this weekend because there's a pull there of something I know I need. So I'm glad that you shared that about your book. Thank you so much. Yes, we will be on Clubhouse tomorrow at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Again, it's called the Prophetic Roundtable. Please join us. And when I say tomorrow, I actually mentally changed. I'm putting this roundtable out. This podcast, yeah, it's going live tonight. We talked about so much. We talked about things that people need, and I want folks to be ready on Clubhouse tomorrow. So, Ada, if you agree with me, it's going live tonight. And
I agree.
It's necessary, and I want people to come and, you know, be free to be able to talk about, you know, whatnot. And, you know, I'll even share some more things that if the Lord allows, because we need it. But, again, I thank you so much for being a part. Again, I'm Dana Williamson with Bad, Blessed, Anointed, Destined, LLC, the original Bad Queen of the Round Table. Thank you all so much for tuning into the podcast, Bad FBI, Visions and Dreams. This has been our Prophetic Roundtable segment here in our new season. So thank you all so much. Please, if you're in the Milwaukee area, look for Ada Eats. And what was the name of the place again on 76 and Good Hope?
Prime Social.
Okay,
like a Prime
Social.
Prime Social.
Perfect. And also look for her. Google her name, Ada Rawlings. That's R-A-W-L-I-N-G-S. Ada is spelled A-D-A-H. Look her up. Google her. Find her book. Purchase her book. Sow into good ground because she is my sis. That's one. But two, she doesn't hold anything back. Doesn't hold anything back. And I'm so glad that the Lord had us cross paths because it was necessary at the time. And we will continue going forward as he sees fit. So, again, I thank you all. And have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your night. God bless.
God bless.